We're on the third message of the morning series on the matter of the human spirit revealed in Ephesians. And in your memorization of these verses, do you realize that in every chapter of Ephesians, the human spirit is revealed? What's the first verse? Ephesians 1:17. We had a marvelous message concerning the revelation of the mystery. Where is it? It's in our spirit. So from the morning time, the key word that we got from the first day was, our spirit is the key.
Amen.
You want revelation? Use the key.
Amen.
Last night we got locked out. Right? Don't get locked out of your spirit.
Amen.
Use your key.
Amen.
Okay? So for revelation of the mystery, we need to use our spirit.
Amen.
You use the wrong organ, you don't see. So you have to have an exercise in your being that, Lord, I want to see.
Amen.
So what do I need? I need to use the key. I need to use my spirit. Then in the second day on our morning time, we had this matter of Ephesians 2:22, right? I would use two words for this matter of the spirit, of the dwelling place of God. I would use the word address and reality.
Amen.
You want to know how to build up the church? You got to know where the address is. What's the location?
Yes.
Right? It's in spirit.
Amen.
Dwelling place of God in spirit.
Amen.
Right? So the key, the address, the reality is your mingled spirit.
Amen.
Not a small thing. And in chapter 3, actually, there's two verses on the spirit. But this morning we'll touch mainly the second one. But I do want to mention the first one in Ephesians 3:5. I hope that all of you memorize every one of these verses. You would know. Yep, there's a verse on the Spirit in every chapter, but in chapter 3, it's two. Now you think about this. Why would there be two in the middle of the book? Okay, in the revelation that's fellowship with us in the ministry of the age, listen to this. Our brother tells us that in the entire revelation of the New Testament, Ephesians is downtown God's economy.
Amen.
It's the revelation of the church.
Amen.
Okay, and listen, not only that, but the center of the book is Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul wanted you to be very clear that it is really a matter of your spirit.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you again. And then when you forget, I'm going to tell you again.
Amen.
Because apart from the spirit, the revelation of the mystery doesn't happen. And we not only not have revelation, but we don't get brought into the experience. So, what is the verse in Ephesians chapter 3? The essence of it is what Paul testifies that he got the revelation the same way he imparted it to you. He tells you what? That it's now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets in spirit.
Amen.
How about that? I love that he didn't tell you about it, but he expressed his experience of it. He told you, you need revelation. You know what happened to him? He got revelation. It's not do this and no, it matches, right? It matches. So we need to be those that are exercising our spirit. Okay, but this morning we come to, let's open our book to page number 19. Let's read again the line and the message, okay? The line all together, what are we on? The human spirit. Okay, then the title of this section.
Being strengthened into our spirit.
Okay, to the Ephesian believers. In the middle of the book. You know, in Ephesians, he has two prayers. Ephesians chapter 1, we just sang a little bit about Ephesians 1. It was about the revelation. Now he comes to Ephesians 3, and you know what he's praying for? He's praying that you would experience what you saw. You know what? He was a desperate man. And for the believers in the church, you know what he did? He got on his knees. And he prayed to the Father that you would be brought into the experience of this wonderful Christ. So, this morning, to the believers, you need to be strengthened. You know what that implies? I'm just not that strong. That's the problem. The believers are the church, the masterpiece. It's glorious. In God's eyes, we're all in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
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 But in experience, how strong is your spirit? To the point Paul prayed desperately, oh, that these dear believers would be brought into the experience. We need to be strengthened. Most of our problems, we can't admit what's going on, so we don't get help, right? So we just need to receive the word this morning. Paul prayed to be strengthened. We just say, Lord, show me that I need strengthening. Okay, so this is a marvelous section. And I would like to make a point in particular, based on the fellowship last night. When we get to Ephesians 3, he uses a very particular term. He says, he didn't listen. The title says, strengthen into the spirit. But actually, Paul says, strengthen into the inner man.
Amen.
Why? There's only one person in the universe. When you, as a believer, created by God, receive the life of God and the Spirit entered into you, you now have a new person.
Amen.
You're a new man.
Amen.
There's an inner man. You just don't have a spirit, but you have an inner man.
Amen.
What do you need to be strengthened? Into that inner man.
Amen.
Before, you just lived in your soul.
Right.
Everything was directed and governed by your soul. Sorry, even as a believer, you are mainly directed by your soul. Your soul is so strong. Let's talk about it. If I said, let's have some conversation. Everybody's right away. Nobody's, how's it going, Enosh? Let's pray. It's a coffin. What happened? You're not that strong in your spirit. You're strong in your soul. Your soul governs everything. It shouldn't. You have a new man. You have an inner man. The Lord is in your spirit. What do you need? You need strengthening.
Amen.
Let's all say, Lord, strengthen me.
Lord, strengthen me.
Okay, I'm going to read through quickly the little section here, and then I have some particular point. Our emphasis this morning is, listen, to bring you into experience. So I have a few points to help you in your experience in this matter of being strengthened, okay? So I have to go very quickly. The first thing I want to touch is this matter. It's not directly related, but to be strengthened, you'll touch this matter of exercise and release. Your inner man, what does it need? It needs to be exercised. How do you strengthen something in your human life? Right? You use it. You use it. Use your spirit. Use your inner man. The problem is we don't use it that much. So it's not that strong. Do you have one? In Timothy it says you have a spirit of power. But you don't use it. So your sin says, oh, I got a weak spirit. That's a lie. It's just not strengthened. It's a spirit of power, but you need to use it so that it could be strengthened. Okay, so we'll touch a little bit. You need to exercise it that it could be strengthened, and eventually we'll touch this matter. You need to release it. You need to release your spirit. Okay, so this is quite striking. In these verses at the very top, it refers to Ephesians chapter 6, verses Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. And our brother Peter will get into some more details on that. And then also 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. Okay, so let's just go ahead and begin. I think what I want to do is I want to just read through my little portion of the outline, okay? And then I would like to try to touch a few points. So let's alternate. Let's read Roman numeral 1 all together. Ready, go. The
human spirit is composed of three parts. Conscience, fellowship, and intuition.
Brothers,
Our conscience functions to perceive right from wrong and regulates us by either condemning or justifying us.
Sisters,
the fellowship in our spirit is our communion with God and makes it possible for us to contact and worship God.
Brothers,
the intuition in our spirit is a direct sense of God and a direct knowledge from God, enabling us to sense the will of God directly, regardless of reason, circumstances, or background.
Okay, we'll stop there and we'll touch a few points. So it's quite striking. We're talking about being strengthened into our inner man, and right away it starts talking about the parts or the functions of our spirit. Okay. I wish I had it. I want you to appreciate this very much. If you don't know your spirit and how it functions, you won't know how it can be strengthened. Okay, so I was considering to bring a tool this morning and hand it to somebody that would have no idea what the tool is. I was thinking of a digital caliper. And I would give it to you. And I'd say, use it. And you'd go, number one, I don't even know what this is. What is this? And number two, I don't know what it does. So your appreciation of the tool, number one, firstly, you don't know what it is. And secondly, you don't even know how to use it because you don't know what it's useful for. But if you were in a machine shop, oh my goodness, they have one in their pocket, they have one by their machine. They're constantly using it, right? Because they know what it's for, right? It's for measuring, precise measurements. Okay, our spirit needs to be strengthened. Amen. Let's say amen.
Amen.
But do you know what your spirit is and how it functions? If you don't know, you won't know how to cooperate to be strengthened. Okay, so it touches this matter that our spirit is composed of our conscience, our fellowship, and our intuition. Isn't this incredible? Our God is triune.
Amen.
Amen. Our soul, three parts. Our spirit, three parts. What are those parts? I'm going to get strengthened in those parts, but what are they? And how do I use them? And how do they work? So you need to know. We just read, right? What is the conscience? It's what? It's the functioning of the conscience, which is the functioning of the spirit, is a matter of the perceiving of right and wrong. Something that regulates, right? Either condemning you or justifying you. Listen, it's the feeling of the Lord has the Spirit in your spirit.
Amen.
There's some operation. There's some working. Okay? Listen, your conscience is the leading part of your spirit.
Amen.
So when we go back to this matter of exercising your spirit, you better know what about your conscience or you're not going to know that much about exercise. Like, oh, I want to exercise my spirit, but I don't know anything about my conscience. So we're going to get into. That's why point D covers all this matter of the conscience, okay? Then what? They're very much related. The conscience leads to our fellowship. What is our fellowship? Our fellowship is our communion with God. Have you not enjoyed your morning time of communing with God?
Amen.
A brother at breakfast said, I love the first meal of the day. And I turned to him and I said, have you ever thought that God also loves the first meal of the day? Every morning he's waiting. Who's going to come feed me? Oh, breakfast. Would you water him? Would you be the one in the womb watering our Lord? Fellowship. We want to fellowship. Commune with God. Right? So they're related. Your conscience is related to your fellowship. You have a problem with your conscience? There's a problem with your fellowship. Not only that, if there's a problem with your fellowship, there's a problem with your intuition. What is your intuition? Your intuition is a direct sense, a direct knowing from God Himself. It's not a matter of reason. It's not a matter of logic. It's just in your spirit. You You're in fellowship. There's nothing between. And the Lord speaks. Like right after this meeting, you're going to be sitting there and like, wow, good message. And then the Lord within is going to go, your turn. Will you follow the leading of the intuition? You're like, no, Lord. No, I'm scared, Lord. Start reasoning. Oh, no, Lord. You know, I spoke last night. I still love to hear you speak something. Still small voice in the inward part of your being. Nobody even knows what's going on. But because you're in fellowship with the Lord is stirring in you. Okay, so the function of all parts of our spirit is very critical, and we want to spend most of our time on this matter of our conscience. Because listen, if you don't get this, you won't understand how to be strengthened and in what way you'll get strengthened. It's very critical. Okay, I want to read a couple of verses to you. I got a few minutes. It's quite striking, the matter of our conscience. You know why God doesn't hear you? Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord did not hear. You did something and you're still hanging on to it. There's some iniquity there. You had a problem with your conscience. You're praying, oh Lord, my friend, and the Lord is bothering you within. You're still hanging on to that thing. You need to deal with your conscience. How about this one? Isaiah 59:1-2. No, Jehovah's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have become a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Our iniquities become a barrier for our fellowship with the Lord. They're a problem with our conscience. Okay, so I just will give you the practical points. Are you ready? I got four practical points on this matter. Let's read D real quick. I'll read it to you. We must deal with our conscience, the leading part of our spirit, to maintain a living fellowship with the Lord and to sense the will of God directly. Sisters, one. Brothers, two.
When our conscience is cleansed, we will have a good conscience, a conscience void of offense, resulting in transparent and uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord.
I want to impress you that as a brother and sister in the Lord that's learning to be strengthened into your inner man, you need to realize the best way to exercise your spirit is to take care of your conscience. Amen. And the problem that you're not having sweet fellowship and you're not getting the Lord's direct reading is because there's things that you have not dealt with in your conscience. Okay, so you know what happens? The Lord touches you about it and you go, you reason it away. Ah, it's not that bad. Everybody does it. The Lord touches you again. Ah, don't worry about it. Touches you again. Ah, you know what happens? It's like the brothers playing the guitar. Eventually, they get a callus on their hand, and the sensitivity of the fingertips goes away. They're still fingers. They should function, but they're callous, so there's not much feeling. So our conscience gets hardened. So the Lord is speaking. He didn't stop speaking, but your sensitivity to the speaking goes away. And then you're oblivious. You try to pray, you try to have morning revival, you do the life practices, you come to the meeting, and no flow. And you're like, what's wrong with me? I called on the Lord, it doesn't work. Well, you're calloused. You haven't taken care of confessing your sins and dealing with the faults in your inward being before the Lord, applying the precious blood of Christ. Okay, so I want to give you a four-dose medication to help cause your conscience to become sensitive. Amen. You ready? 4 points, and then we'll let Peter share. Okay, how can we cause our conscience to get revived and to get enlivened, to function so that it can be strengthened? Okay, you need to. We all need regaining of sensitivity.
Amen.
We all do. Amen. Not one of us here can say, no, I'm good. I don't need any fellowship like this. Not one brother. We all need this, right? Okay, regarding your conscience, to restore and regain its sensitivity. Number one, you need to pay attention to any feeling of your conscience. Pay attention to it. Amen. Right? Don't put it aside, no matter what or how small it is. Amen. Don't brush it aside. Amen. Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. They just kept doing it so they had no more feeling. Brothers and sisters, we should have a lot of feeling when the Spirit in our spirit speaks to us.
Amen.
You had feeling, but you kept putting it aside. And then you did it again. And then you did it again. Brothers and sisters, don't put aside the speaking of the Lord speaking in you, right? Then in 1 Timothy 4:2 it says, by means of hypocrisy of men who speak lies, of men who have become branded or seared in their conscience. Eventually, you know what happens to the branding? All the feeling of that flesh is gone. You touch it, doesn't bother the animal at all. Seared. This conscience there, it is. But no feeling. You have no feeling. Why? Because you've continually, listen, pay attention to every feeling in your conscience.
Amen.
Number two, we should not reason away the feeling in our conscience. We should not explain it away. We should not excuse ourselves by saying, oh, everybody does this, or I'm not strong enough. Don't reason away the speaking of the Lord in your conscience. Pay attention to that little feeling. Go along with that feeling. If nothing else, admit to it. The Lord points out a sin. You just say, you're right, Lord, I sinned.
Amen.
Do you realize that's the definition of confession? White shirt. You say, Lord, you're right. It's a white shirt. That's confession. Really? Yeah, that's what it is. You just point out and agree with what the Lord points to you. If he says white shirt, don't say, no, it's a little dirty. You know, it's got some blotches and stains. And no, it's just a white shirt. Just say, Lord, you're right. I sinned. And apply the blood, right? So we need to what? Number two, don't reason away the feeling. Number three, we need to confess our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, confessing just a small sin will restore some fellowship and give you more enjoyment and experience of life. So that what? You'll have a deeper relationship and a deeper flow of the Lord's life within you. Do we not want that?
Amen.
Oh, I want that.
Amen.
I want it every day.
Amen.
Well, we need to apply the blood to all our sins.
Amen.
Number four, we should not thrust away the feeling of our conscience. 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience concerning which some thrusting these away have become shipwrecked regarding the faith. If you thrust away your feeling and your conscience, you know what you're doing? You're thrusting away your faith. You wonder, I just struggle believing. I'm having a hard time. It's because you thrust away the Lord's feeling in your conscience. And eventually it says, you'll become shipwrecked in the faith. You know what the faith is? The faith is God's economy. You become a person having seen the revelation of the mystery, not enjoy the economy of God in reality because you don't take care of the exercise of your spirit, which mainly is the exercise of our conscience. So, Brother Peter needs to get up. Our conscience is so important. We must pay attention to, listen, the gentle, quiet feeling from the Lord within. Listen, this is how to exercise our spirit. Now we need to be strengthened in that exercise spirit, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm Peter Gunderson from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, which is a suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul. So, praise the Lord for our brother's spirit.
Amen.
And for this matter of the conscience. When we fellowship together regarding this matter, I really felt that as we fellowship, Tom and I, this is a very crucial matter.
Amen.
I want to cover the matter of being strengthened into your inner man, but what our brother just touched, I feel, is really important for us to go on with the Lord. And I just call your attention to the verses that are referenced there. Paul exercise to always have a conscience without offense toward God and man. That's in Acts 24. At the end of his ministry, as he's going to, he knows he's going to end up being a testimony to God and being persecuted by the Jews. Still, he tells those Ephesian elders, I always exercise myself in my conscience. So this is a key item. The matter of our conscience is the first primary item with our spirit.
Right.
We often consider the exercise of my spirit, calling on the Lord, and praying, and speaking loudly to the Lord and really being released. Those things are crucial, but if our conscience is darkened, yeah, then we'll find that we don't have that flow.
Right.
So this is a very crucial matter.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Well, let's look at the second section here on 2,
yeah,
and let's read 2, the bold together.
Amen. We need to be strengthened into our spirit, our inner man, in order to experience Christ for the church, for the body of Christ.
Amen.
And then A, brothers.
Today there are two men in us, the outer man with the soul as his life and person,
Amen,
and the body as his organ, and the inner man with the spirit as his life and person, and the renewed soul as his organ.
Amen.
So our brother touched this matter. We are very strong in our soul. That's why in these verses Paul says, you've already received the revelation that we've seen in the last two evening sessions. We have the revelation of Christ seen in his economy. We have the revelation of the church as the masterpiece. What a wonderful high vision.
Right.
But now Paul bows his knees. He gets down on his knees because he's desperate. He knows these Ephesian believers. Paul was with them. He was with them night and day with tears, if you remember from Acts.
Right.
So now he's what? Desperate. That even though these are believers, they could live in their soul.
Right.
They can live in their outer man.
Right.
So he uses the term inner man.
Amen.
To point them and direct them that you must get into your inner man.
Amen.
And how you get into your inner man is not just in a lazy way. Say, oh, okay, Lord, you're just going to have to do it, you know. We know God's economy is God does everything in us and through us. We shouldn't do our own works. Our own works don't please God. But you know what? The matter of cooperation is so necessary.
Amen.
When you cooperate, yeah, then you're strengthened into your inner man.
Amen.
If you don't cooperate, if you don't exercise,
right,
then there won't be that strengthening into the inner man.
Right.
So Paul prays desperately, bowing the knees to the Father, so that this whole process can begin to happen. Christ can make home in our hearts, so that we can be built with other saints, apprehend with all the saints. Eventually, what's the result? The fullness of God is expressed in the church.
Right.
But it all starts here by getting into that inner man.
Amen.
And again, a principal item that blocks us is related to our conscience.
Right.
So this is a key matter in this sharing this morning.
Amen.
Okay, I'd like us also to read, did we read 1 under B? Okay, let's read 1 under B. We need
to be strengthened with power through the Spirit. The more we are strengthened, the more the parts of our inner being are brought back into the Spirit.
Number 2, the secret
to the operation of this power and the strengthening of our spirit is that we need to be desperate,
not indifferent. So that's a key item in this fellowship.
Right.
That really stuck out to me in the reading and in our fellowship. Desperate, not indifferent.
Right.
Oh Lord, make us desperate,
Amen,
to touch our spirit, to realize that if I don't,
Amen,
enter into that inner man,
yeah,
God's economy, the masterpiece of God, is just at a standstill.
Amen.
So we must have that same desperacy that Paul had to get into the Spirit and into the inner man.
Amen.
Because then all the reality we saw in chapter 1 and 2 gets worked out in us.
Right.
How glorious that is.
Amen.
But how crucial it is. It depends on our exercise.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
So exercise yourself unto godliness is another very strong verse in Timothy's. Exercise yourself unto godliness. In order, number three, in order for our spirit to be strong, it must be exercised. This is two words here, very crucial. This is a matter of habit and forcing. So no one likes to no one likes to be forced, right? But think of your own experience if you exercise your physical body. You know there's a benefit there, so therefore you go and you force yourself. And then after you force yourself, you feel refreshed, you feel strengthened, you feel like, yeah, that was great. But right leading up to that, how did you feel? Oh man, I don't want to go running, or I don't want to do those carb exercises. But you know what? That is the key of our spirit, is to force ourselves.
Amen.
And then that becomes a habit, saints.
Yeah.
That becomes a habit that we're brought into the spirit.
Amen.
And Paul also in Timothy uses we should look at this verse about opening our mouth in 2 Timothy. He says you need to fan into flame.
Yes.
Fan into flame.
Amen.
You know, we're in Minnesota, we don't have that much hot weather. If we get over 90 degrees for 10 days, we think we're really suffering. But my wife always takes the opportunity when the temperature drop a little bit, or even in the morning early before it gets hot, which is probably not hot at all for a Texan, but for Minnesotan it's kind of hot. She'll open all the windows. So open all those windows because the air gets kind of claustrophobic. You know, that's like our soul life. Our soul life, we just get so into ourselves, so into our habit, we so confine the spirit that we're just living in that realm, and it's very stale. It's very old. There's nothing fresh of Christ in there. So what is fanning? Open all the windows, saints.
Amen.
Just open the windows of your being.
Amen.
Fan into flame.
Amen.
That gift that you have. God gave you a gift in your spirit.
Right.
That gift is so wonderful.
Amen.
That gift is so full of power.
Amen.
And you know that power that's in your spirit, that word power, that strengthened with power in your inner man, is the same word for power in Ephesians 1. And remember that song we sang. It's the resurrection power.
Amen.
It's the ascending power.
Amen.
It's the ruling power.
Amen.
It's subduing power.
Amen.
That same power that raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
All that that is in Ephesians is in your spirit.
Amen.
It's a gift of God.
Amen.
But if you don't fan it, then that air doesn't get into the rest of your being.
Right.
And you just live your life in the soul. Right? We just have our habits. We're comfortable. You know, the verses in Ephesians say, once you're brought into your inner man, so that Christ may make his home.
Yes.
Christ wants to settle down and make a home in you.
Yes.
Well, we have our home. We have our comfort, right? We have the things we do, our habits, our ways, our concepts. So when you fan your spirit, in that spirit starts to flood into your home.
Amen.
That's the home of Christ.
Amen.
You begin to have Christ fill you.
Amen.
And there's three things in Timothy that are mentioned.
Yeah.
He says, God's given you a spirit of power.
Amen.
That's related to your will, to choose the things of God.
Amen.
But how are you going to choose the things of God? Only when your spirit is filling you.
Amen.
Because God will choose the things of God.
Yes.
You will choose the things of the soul. So fan into flame,
Amen.
You'll have the choosing.
Amen.
Then how about the other big part of your being, your love?
Yeah.
How about your love? Love for the church life, love for the saints, love for those saints that offend you, love in all kinds of situations,
yeah.
The capacity to pour out, to serve the saints. You don't have that. Your soul is, my soul is a selfish, self-centered, all about me. So that love flooding into that part of my being,
Amen.
I begin to love the saints, to prefer the saints,
Amen.
To serve the saints.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
By fanning.
Amen.
And then how about the mind? Oh, our troublesome mind becomes not the wild mind, but the sober mind.
Right.
Choosing the values that God has.
Amen.
Choosing the church life. Choosing God's way.
Amen.
That is a renewing of our mind. But Paul was very clear to Timothy that he would just be a coward, right? What's a coward? You're afraid. You're afraid. You won't do anything. You won't choose God's way. You won't live God's way. That's to be a coward. But if you fan into flame that spirit that's in you, then you'll be filled with the life of God.
Amen.
And it's very interesting that all these three major parts of your being, your mind, emotion, and will, are saturated with God through that fanning.
Yes.
And that comes by your exercise.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, I think we should read this. I'm supposed to watch my time here. Okay. I wasn't sure this thing's going to go off. So it looks like it will. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's read under three, the three parts, A, B, and C. Well, actually, they're all there. These are the parts of your being strengthened. So how about let's alternate brothers first, then sisters through A, B, C, and D.
Amen.
In order.
In order for our spirit to be strong, it must be exercised, which is a matter of habit and of forcing ourselves.
Sisters.
We need to open up our mouth, our heart, and our spirit in order to fan our spirit into flame.
Having a strong will, a loving emotion, and a sober mind has much to do with
having a strong spirit.
Amen. Altogether, we should exercise our spirit by confessing our sins, praying, and functioning in the meetings. Praise the Lord. So the verses there are Acts 24 has a matter of exercise yourself, have a conscience without offense.
Right.
Ephesians 6:18 is by means of all prayer and petition.
Amen.
And then 1 Corinthians 14, of course, is when we come to the meeting, we have something. We exercise in the meeting.
Amen.
So these are the functions in our spirit beginning to flow out, but nothing happens without clearing our conscience for the Lord and also fanning our spirit into flame.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, then C, what's the ultimate result? This is a wonderful result. The ultimate result of our being strengthened into our inner man is our being filled
unto all the fullness of God, which is the body of Christ, the church, the issue of our enjoyment of the riches of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. What a result.
Yeah.
But this result is hanging on that one verse, which is the matter of the Spirit. So we saw in the evening messages, we've received the vision of God's economy, which is something that was in God's heart from before time, before creation. And then we see the church as the masterpiece. But how will this all be worked out? Like our brother Tom said, it's in the center. Chapter 3 of the exercise of our human spirit. Being brought into the inner man and not living in our soul. But living in the inner man. And then everything begins to be worked out. You know, if you look at chapter 3, the verses in this section, which we really strongly encourage the saints, pray these verses every day.
Amen.
Like brother said one time, just pray these verses every day for 30 days.
Yeah.
Some brother said, I've been praying those 30 days, then I continued on for years. Pray that verse because that verse is to bring you into the inner man.
Amen.
And then God's economy begins to be worked out.
Amen.
So what does God's economy look like? Christ is making home in your heart.
Amen.
It's no longer you making your home. You've let the Spirit begin to flood you, saturate you. Now there's another one making his home.
Amen.
And then, what is the expression? Is it's not just you and the Lord. You're apprehending with all the saints. So there's the church in those verses, right?
Amen.
And then following that, what is the result? Wonderful. The fullness.
Amen.
You're filled unto all the fullness.
Amen.
And then eventually, the last verses in that chapter are, unto him be glory.
Amen.
The God of glory, who you prayed to in the early verses, now gets his glory in the church.
Amen.
So what a marvelous issue, saints, when we exercise our spirit.
Amen.
And I want to mention one other thing related to this summer training. When we were fellowshipping the other day, Tom and I just realized every stage of the way our conscience needs to be involved. In the first entry in the tabernacle, there is the confession on the outer, in the outer court. There is a confession of your sins. Then when you go in with the blood, you have your entrance in. You know what? You're in the holy place. But in the holy place, you eat at that altar. You enjoy the Lord. You know what? There's a lampstand.
Amen.
More shining. A finer shining. That means more confession of your sins. That means what you felt you could do last year. Now, as you go on with the Lord, suddenly the Lord is touching you about something that seemed quite small a year ago. But now it's become important, Lord, so you clear that up. Then that allows you to pass into a deeper experience with the Lord. Now you go into the Holy of Holies. You know what in the Holy of Holies? There's a rich feast, meeting the Lord, but there's also some more confession. Because there's the ark, and in the ark are the law, the tablets of testimony. And you find within there, oh Lord, shining again. There's more things in me, Lord, that need exposing, and I agree, I want to let them go. So every stage of the way in the tabernacle, there is a matter of confessing and fellowship.
Amen.
The two go together. So saints, we have a glorious future.
Amen.
But your future is all tied up to the exercise of your spirit.
Amen.
So this is very crucial.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So I think that we could just read the focus and notice both items are here. The exercise of your conscience and then the fanning into flame. So let's read the focus. We must deal with our conscience, the leading part of our spirit, and be strengthened into our inner man through the Spirit and through our cooperation with the Spirit. Amen.